The past year has been one of political upheaval across the Middle East, fueled in part by the spread of information on Twitter and Facebook. So, 1 year after the revolutions began, we're going to check in now on how business is changing for the Arab world tech industry. From Beirut, Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
The Habtor Hotel is packed with hundreds of people wearing the unofficial tech entrepreneur uniform. Open shirt, no tie, jeans, and a blazer. And the conversation sounds like the sort you'd overhear while having lunch at a swanky cafe in the heart of Silicon Valley, except there's a lot more Arabic.
We are at the ArabNet Digital Summit, the largest gathering for the Arab web and mobile industry.
That's Omar Christidis, founder and CEO of ArabNet. The revolutions got a lot of people logged into Twitter and Facebook, but ArabNet started chipping away at the Middle East's digital disconnect years before the Arab Spring uprisings.
People were not talking to each other from Egypt, from Saudi, from Syria, and there were no real online places where you can find information about what's going on.
This, Omar says, didn't reflect the potential for tech growth in the Middle East.
Internet is booming in the region. When we started the conference in 2010, there were about 35 million users. Today, there's over 70 million users of the internet.
On the other side of the hall, past eager conversations between young entrepreneurs and white robe-clad investors from Gulf states, is Abraham Kmark, an American working for a tech firm in Qatar.
ArabNet is the place to meet other entrepreneurs and investors in the Arab world at this point. It's the hot place right now.
He isn't worried about the political upheaval sweeping the region. If anything, Kmark says, the long-term nature of tech investment means now is as good a time as ever to invest in a place like, say, Egypt.
You would be taking that type of long-term nature and that type of bet in Cairo at this point. If you look at the demographics of the youth, if you look at the internet penetration and the mobile penetration, it's a very attractive market.
Fast forward to Egypt. Beside the River Nile, just outside Cairo, is a stately old apartment building. Behind door number 6 is a tech business incubator called Flat 6 Labs. Tonight, about 20 young men are milling around, eating from buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're all pretty lucky to be here. Over 60 companies applied for just 7 spots at Flat 6. The selected firms get about $12,000 and 12 weeks to hire a staff, start a company, and find investors. Their proposals range from apps to help tourists connect with locals to an online video learning database for Egyptian students. During their 3-month stint, they refine their business pitches with the help of each other and outside eyes, which is what they're up to tonight.
And the beauty of it is that we're using Twitter.
There's a big difference between somebody who's clever at doing a product and somebody who's running a company. This is where they learn it.
That's Hani Al-Sambati. He's the co-founder of the venture capital firm that set up Flat 6 Labs. He says the whole point of Flat 6 is to make it easier to start tech businesses in Egypt. Things are going well now, but the journey hasn't been totally smooth. Sambati's company was just getting ready to set Flat 6 in motion.
And then the revolution happened.
And so he met with his partner to figure out what to do next.
It was a very short conversation, and there wasn't any compelling reason why not to proceed.
Today, Egypt's economy may still be struggling, but for Flat 6 grads, things are going well. Several companies from the last class are already generating revenue. No one's really sure what's going to happen in Egypt's political and economic future, but Sambati sees one way the revolution impacted the entrepreneurial spirit of the country's young techies.
It emboldened them to follow their ideas, and I have no shadow of a doubt that some of them said, you know what, let's just do this.
For NPR News, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.